The reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 23 to 35. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, I'd love the children to come back because I'm going to do something here with these bowls and I'm going to ask some little questions. So can I cause a disturbance and say, children, come on the run? And just to sit on the floor here, that's lovely. Well done. There's a brave first one. Lovely. Okay. So if you sit on the floor, okay, so you, and face this way so I can see you, all right? Great. Okay, sit on the floor. That's lovely. That's great. And if there are any adult children want to come as well, you're welcome. Now, I want to ask one or two questions, but the first question is this. What are some of the things that make you glad? What are some of the things that make you glad, make you happy? Can you tell me? Yes? Pardon? Sweets! It's Lent, but we'll forget that. Yes? Any other things? Just think of things that make you glad and happy. Yes? Making somebody happy. What a lovely answer. Making somebody happy, thinking of someone else, you know, that will be a wonderful quality in your life as you bring blessing to others. Any other things that make you glad? Oh, yes, sorry. What makes you glad? Pardon? I love you. What a lovely thing. Well, that makes me very glad. Does anybody like ice cream? Yeah. Does that make you glad? Good. And does anyone like sunshine? That makes you glad? Great, great. Now, I want to ask you another question. Do you ever do any things that are bad or make you sad? If you do, just put your hand up. I'm going to put my hand up. And the adults, are there any hypocrites here? Yeah, we do things sometimes that hurt one another. Can you think of things that sometimes we do that hurt another person? Who's going to be brave and tell me something? Do you ever do anything that's untruthful? Yes, okay. Pardon? You hurt somebody, yes. Sometimes you do it by saying unkind words. Sometimes you do it by hitting them. I have an identical twin brother, and we used to sometimes hit one another. So sometimes we do things that hurt each other. Maybe sometimes we're very angry and we say harsh words to a brother or sister. Sometimes we might see that at home there's a coin that's left on the table and we think, oh, we could get some sweets with that, but it's not ours. Sometimes that's called stealing. So you see, we often do things that cause stains in our lives. And I used to be aware of some of the wrong things that I did as a little boy. And you know, I never knew how I could put it right. And I thought as a little boy, I always had an awareness of God, but I didn't know him. I thought as a little boy that I should either hide those things so no one could see, or I should try and wash them out. So shall I try and wash this out in this solution here? Okay, let's just have a look. So I'm going to put that there and scrub it. Oh dear, it seems to be getting worse. This is terrible. Now, can you see? Is it any better? No, it's spread, hasn't it? It's spread. And if you look here, I'll just put a bit of this in as well. If you look there, you'll see that it's polluted. Now, before I would have drunk this water, but I don't think I will now. I won't, because it's polluted. And when we do things that hurt one another, we actually pollute the atmosphere. We poison the atmosphere. And so it's really important that we know how we can find cleansing and a fresh start. That's really important. And I've got this solution. I spent a lot of my life trying to wash away. I thought if I did many good deeds and they outweighed the bad deeds, maybe God would accept me. But the thing about that philosophy is that I never knew that I'd done enough good. And I was never satisfied inside that I was okay. But you know, the wonderful thing about the Christian message, the gospel, is that actually God sent his only son to be amongst us, to come and live with us, and that he offered a solution. And the solution was that he was going to go to the cross in order that we might find forgiveness. Can you see that cross? That symbolizes the cross of Jesus. And John the Baptist, when Jesus came to be baptized, spoke of him, and he pointed to Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Look, the Lamb of God, the one taking away the sin of the world." Now that's what I long to find. And I just want to take this dirty hanky that speaks of a life that's been polluted and just put it in this solution and just see what happens. Do you think it's going to work? I hope it does for my sake. Look. Look. John the Apostle said these words. If we confess, you can clap, that's right. John the Apostle said, if we confess our sins, the hurts that we've done, God is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from everything that's wrong. That's amazing. And you know, the word for cleanse or forgive is a Greek word called aphiemai. It means to sweep something away, to wipe the slate clean. And when I discovered that for the first time, my heart really sang. I could come into God's presence and know that he was one who forgave me. and that gives a fresh start. So that's really important. And I just want to say something that's really important as well. In this passage that was read to us, it gives us the clue as to how to build a healthy church. How to build a healthy church. And I just want to mention two or three things. And one of those things is that we watch out for one another. We care for one another. Jesus puts it in this way in verse 10. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for their angels see the face of my Father in heaven. And he talks about a lost sheep and going and finding the lost sheep. And I just remember speaking with some leaders of a church, and they had a lot of new people coming to the church, and they were thrilled with that, but they noticed that a lot were leaving the church and not coming back. And as they prayed about this, someone had a picture of a fishing net. Look, there's a fishing net here. And you see it's well secure, but they had the picture of a fishing net, and there were a lot of holes which the fish or the people were slipping out. And it was partly because everyone there thought, well, it's the vicar's job to look after everybody. But actually, it isn't the vicar's job. Jesus said, take care. Take care for one another. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, in one sense, I am. And in a church like this, which is growing, it's really important that all of us take our part in looking out for one another. Sometimes we get hurt in life. Someone gets sick and is suffering. And sometimes our faith is weakened. It seems to slip away. But we need others to hold us steady and to pray for us, to find God afresh in that situation. And then there's two other things I want to say. Then in this passage, the writer speaks about dealing with infections, dealing with poison that sometimes infects the body. And we do hurt one another in life, and it's important in a church or in a family that we know how to deal with hurt. Hurt is an experience of life for all of us. We can't pretend that we won't have it. And Jesus said, if someone has done something which really hurts you, there are three steps. One is, go and talk to that person about it. Don't go and talk to everybody else about it, but go and talk to that person, because that's a way of restoring a relationship. And then if they don't listen or resolve that situation, take a friend along with you, because Jesus is so concerned to bring health to the family of God. And if they don't heed that step, well, then you need to deal with it in the church. And you know, Jesus gave this because he was so concerned that the church would be healthy. And forgiveness is a key to healthiness. I've got a key here in my pocket. It's quite a big key, isn't it? Where do you think that key goes? What do you think it opens? Yes. Yes, you're right. This is an old church in Edinburgh, and someone gave it to me. And in this passage, I give you the keys of the kingdom. But this key speaks about the key of forgiveness. And we can forgive one another. A healthy church is using this key very often. And then the last thing I just want to mention in this little talk is actually, Jesus tells a story about forgiveness. Peter asked Jesus, how often do I forgive my brother? Seven times? Now, seven times was very generous. The Jewish people said, do it four and then let them have it. He said seven times. So I think he was thinking, well, Jesus would be very pleased with that. And Jesus replies, which blew his mind. He said, I don't say seven times, but I say 70 times seven, 490 times in a day. You see, forgiveness for Jesus was not a mathematical formula. It was a relational necessity. And the church that learns really to receive forgiveness and to forgive one another is a healthy place. And he just went on to tell this amazing story about two servants of a king. One of them was a very senior servant. He ruled over a whole region. And when the king came, he wanted to take account of all that he had. And he found out that this servant owed him 10,000 talents. Well, you know, one talent was 150 years' wages. 10,000 is 350,000 years' wages. No, 150,000 years' wages. So it was an impossible debt to repay. And this man was so distressed, he fell to his knees and said to Jesus, please have mercy upon me, and I will pay you back. He couldn't really do that, but that was his cry. And the king had compassion on this servant, and he said, I forgive you the debt, I release you. How do you think that servant felt when he walked out the door? I think he was saying, wow! Hallelujah! Dancing. Well, we're going to have some dancing later. But there would have been joy in his heart. And then as he goes on his way, he meets another servant who is under him, who owes him 100 denarii. And one denarii was a day's wage. So it was only 100 days' wages. And this man just says, forgive me, have pity on me. And he had said those same words. And he didn't listen to him, and he cast him into prison. And the owners, or the other stewards, were so upset by this, they went to the king and said, this has happened. And the king called this steward back and said, I forgave you the debt. Why did you not forgive this man the debt? And he threw him into prison. And it says in the scripture here that to be held by the torturers. Now, what does that really mean? I think it means this, that when we hold on to unforgiveness, not only is the person we refuse to forgive tortured, but we ourselves are tortured. Nelson Mandela, one of my heroes, I was brought up in South Africa, one of my heroes said this, unforgiveness is like drinking a glass of poison and hoping the other person dies. Hoping the other person dies. Whereas forgiveness is actually something that releases us. Unforgiveness imprisons us to the hurt. And the king does something very strange. He calls that man back and puts him into prison. Some people think, well, this is a fickle king. He's forgiven him, now he's called it back. No, it wasn't that at all. This is a story of a servant who does not participate in forgiveness that is extended. And so he hurts himself and the community. So forgiveness is very important. I just want this picture to be shown on here. It's a chap called Michael Lapsley. Michael Lapsley from South Africa. He's a priest. And can you see anything about his hands? What do you see where his hands should be? Hooks, that's right. Like Hook, Captain Hook. He's got two hooks on his hands. Now, in 1976, he was in the anti-apartheid movement, and he was expelled from South Africa. He went to Zimbabwe. And then he heard that he was on the government hit list. And months later, he received a package with magazines that he got regularly. And he opened this package, and his hands were blown off, and his eye was shattered. So he lost his eye and his hands, and he said he felt like a little baby. He could not do anything for himself. He became a victim of an evil, in a sense, attitude and regime. And he said this, that I realized that I could remain a victim for the rest of my life, or I could be a victim. And he said the way to victory was to recognize the anger and the loss and the grief that was part of that experience, but actually to choose to forgive. And he forgave those perpetrators. He never knew who they were. He forgave them, and he set up a center in Cape Town called the Healing of Memories Center. And I went there and saw many that he touched who had used this forgiveness to find a new freedom. And I just finished with a little story of a friend of mine in my previous church, who was at a conference, a house party, and he shouted out to the speaker at the front, "Can God forgive anything?" And the speaker said, "Yes, but can I talk to you straight after this talk?" And he went away with this chap called Jack. And Jack told him a story that when he was 17, he had been really terribly abused by a master in his school. And he hated that master. And one day, his anger blew up, and he waited behind a tree with a stout piece of wood. And when this master came, he banged him on the head and left him. Well, he didn't know whether it was for dead or unconscious. And he ran away, and he joined the army before the right age. And, you know, he had waited for something like 60 years. He was in his mid-70s. And he asked that question, and the speaker took him aside and talked with him about the gospel. And Jack received forgiveness, and he also forgave that master for the way he treated him. He never knew what serious injury he had suffered. And he was in a wheelchair, and he came to lunch. His face was lit up. He was so full of joy. And do you know, a day or so later, he got out of that wheelchair and walked. Something deep inside had taken place. And do you know, the wonderful thing about this story is that a fortnight later, he died. And he didn't carry that weight with him. He knew he had been forgiven. And he had forgiven this man. And the infection was dealt with. And so I just want to say something as we close here. I've got a bowl here, and you might notice that there's a piece of paper and possibly a pencil on your chair. You know, sometimes it's good to act something out. And what I'd love to do is, in the quiet and while Martin plays, if you want to write down somebody that you need to release, to let go of something that's hurt you, why don't you put that name on that piece of paper and actually come forward? And in a sense, when you walk away, you're not carrying this with you. You've left it at the cross. And so you're going to be set free from something that really poisons the system. And I just believe there's some here in their 60s and 70s who at the age of 15 are carrying something from that age. And God is saying, I just want you to be free. Why don't you release forgiveness and maybe receive forgiveness? So why don't you take that piece of paper? You don't have to, but take that piece of paper. And if you want to put it down and come forward and put it here, that'll be a wonderful way of leaving that burden at the cross. Thank you.